We're told that the Buddha meets a certain monk, a certain disciple, or the monk meets the Buddha. And either in reply to a question or spontaneously, the Buddha gives a few words of instruction, words which are still in the scriptures. And they're usually very simple words, just a few of them. And then to our astonishment, we read that hearing those words, monk so-and-so or nun so-and-so became enlightened, became an arahant. And this is really staggering. And we can't help thinking, well, but why? How? We read those same words, we read them 100 times over, we might even read them aloud, but nothing happens. There might be a dim glimmer of understanding. We might just think, well, of course, yes, it is so, we agree, we accept, but nothing, as it were, clicks, nothing happens. And we certainly don't go spiraling up into enlightenment, nothing like it. So how was it? How did it happen? How was it that on these occasions, and there are quite a number of them recorded in the scriptures, these few words, apparently, were able to produce such a dramatic, such a tremendous effect? You might try to explain it by saying, well, after all, the monk was prepared, and that is true. It's not the whole truth, but it is true. Very likely he'd been meditating for years and years before he approached the Buddha and put his question. So he is ready, he is receptive. But it isn't the whole explanation. There's another factor to be taken into consideration, a factor which is even more important, and which, though so important, we often overlook, and that is the Buddha himself. It wasn't a question of just those words being spoken, as it were, or appearing in the air. It was the Buddha speaking those words. And in a sense, it didn't really matter what the Buddha said. It was the Buddha who was saying those words. It was the Buddha who was speaking. So it wasn't so much what the Buddha said to the monk that made the impression which brought about the transformation. It is what the Buddha himself was which produced the impression and which brought about the result. Sometimes we are told the Buddha didn't say anything at all, didn't even have recourse to words. But the effect was still the same. The effect was tremendous. We all know the story, the old story of the golden flower. This is a Zen story, of course. We know the story of how the Buddha, without saying anything, held up a golden flower in the midst of the assembly. All the monks were sitting round, hundreds, thousands of them, all quietly sitting, meditating. They all saw the Buddha hold up this golden flower. And the Buddha didn't say anything. And no one understood what he meant by it. No one understood what he was getting at, except one, a very old disciple, Mahakashyapa. So he understood what the Buddha was getting at. So he looked at the Buddha and he smiled. And the Buddha looked at him and he smiled. And we're told that that was the origin of Zen. But that, as they say, is another story. The anecdote may be apocryphal. It's said now to have been invented about 1,000 years later, but that doesn't really matter. It embodies a very important truth indeed. And the truth is that the Buddha, Gautama the Buddha, taught, influenced people quite as much by what he was and by what he did as by what he said.